And for the rest of you, if you will turn in the Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 is what we're going to be looking at today. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, slowly making our way through what we call the Beatitudes, these blessed statements. Today, we are finishing up that part of this the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes as we look at the final Beatitudes, which is really one beatitude, just expressed in two different ways. Starting in verse 10, this is God's word. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Again, Father, I ask that you would use this time to stir our hearts more in the gospel, to see our security in Jesus. And if our world needs to be turned upside down today in our own hearts and minds, then turn it upside down for your glory and for our good. We ask again in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the year 2027. America has changed a lot in a decade. The most substantial change is easily seen in the way previous religious liberties no longer exist. In fact, any public display of religious worship, religious language, or religious actions, all of them have been banned. Church buildings, synagogues, mosques have either been closed permanently or converted into non-religious stores, warehouses, and museums. Those who continue to practice their religious faith have to do so privately and quietly. Those who attempt to gather together with other like-minded worshipers and encouragement usually do so in the dead of night, at a remote and secluded location. And even when this is done, there are times when a neighbor suspects something is going on and snitches on the worshipers, and those citizens who dare to ignore the ban on religion in America suffer the consequences. Life in prison with no chance of pardon or parole. Now, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, and so I'm not saying that any of these things are actually going to come about. In fact, it is unlikely that it would happen like that quickly. But what if it did? What if you knew for certain that in the year 2017, a mere 10 years away from now, that would be what you will face? How would you feel right now? Scared? Sad? Angry? Maybe you're feeling all kinds of emotions. But let me ask you this. Would any of you say, if that is my future, I feel blessed? And here's where Jesus turns our world upside down. Because Jesus pronounces God's blessing on those who are persecuted because of Him and His ways. Jesus pronounces blessing on those who are persecuted because of Him and His ways. It's right here in Jesus' statement, verse 10 of chapter 5 of Matthew. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11, blessed are you, if you miss the point. Not just those people out there, but blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? I mean, it makes you wonder, what was going on with Jesus at that time? It makes us question our Lord. Because we think, that can't be right. You're not blessed. You don't have God's favor if you're persecuted. We often pray in this nation how blessed we are that we are not persecuted. And yet Jesus tells us that it is a blessing to be persecuted on His account. We get it backwards. Now, I want to go on record here. I want to say this very clearly. I don't want to be persecuted. Just like you don't want to be persecuted. Nobody wants to be persecuted. And there's good reason for that. First of all, persecution of God's people would be sin. It is wrong to persecute those who are in the truth. But we live in a fallen world, and persecution is a problem. It happens. And so when Jesus speaks these words to us, we shouldn't say, oh, I guess I need to want persecution. That's not what Jesus is saying. It is encouragement to us that if we experience persecution, don't let that get you down. Don't let that bother you too much. Remember that you are blessed by God Himself. He gives you His favor when you experience persecution of various kinds. It's meant to be encouragement. And we need to hear this encouragement because we don't like the idea of persecution. We don't like it. And that's okay that we don't like it. It is. Again, persecution is sin. And we should always have this idea of if there is injustice in the world of any sort, we should be able to say, that's wrong. And in some way be able to stand with those who are being mistreated. But in this case, it would be Christians, people of faith, who would have the injustice done upon them. One more thing we need to think about when we're talking about persecution here. And look, I know this is going to be a little bit heavy. I know that. I realize that. Again, none of us like persecution. None of us want it. And so to even talk about it, to even say it's a possibility in our lives, makes us feel uncomfortable. And persecution becomes an even bigger issue for us when we are addicted, and I'm using that word very purposefully, when we are addicted to comfort, ease, and prosperity. When we are addicted to comfort, ease, and prosperity, persecution becomes like one of those things that we say, You cannot be blessed by God if you have that in your life. But again, Jesus says it is those who are undergoing persecution who are blessed. And there is no doubt in my mind that Stuart Mizell is addicted to comfort, ease, and prosperity. And there's no doubt in my mind that many of you are also. You know how I know? Try it. Try this on for size. Try this on for size. That's what I'm trying to say. New Year's resolution. And I won't even say a whole year, because most of us don't make it to the end of the year anyway when we make New Year's resolutions. Let's just say for the month of January, you're going to live like it's 1699. No electricity, no modern comforts, no cell phones or eye devices, no TV, no radio, no really comfy beds. No indoor plumbing. The only heat that you have is maybe a fireplace. And the only way you can cool off is to open your windows and let hopefully a breeze come through in the summer. Of course, it'll be January, so you don't have to worry about that. How many of us would take up on that offer and go, yeah, that's me. I would love that. Not me. I hear you. Amen. None of us want that because we're addicted to it. We're addicted to this stuff. And let me just say, there is nothing wrong with comfort. There is nothing wrong in and of itself with ease. There is nothing wrong with prosperity. Really. Where the problem comes is that when we become so engrossed in those things, they capture our hearts. And when we say, which would I rather have? The comfort, ease, and prosperity that I currently have, or suffering for Jesus? I mean, when you put it in that black and white of a term, it's hard. Maybe we struggle a little bit. I mean, I want to say, I want to be that person that says, no matter what persecution comes my way, I'm going to be faithful. But honestly, there are some forms of persecution I haven't experienced, and I don't know what it would be like. And that really hit me hard during Chip's ordination service last week when I heard again the ordination vow for a pastor in this denomination, in this church, that you be full as a pastor, whatever persecution or opposition may come your way. It's a tough call, isn't it, Chip? And yet, I pray that I would be faithful no matter what. I pray that Chip would be faithful no matter what. And I pray that you would be faithful no matter what. But being addicted to comfort, ease, and prosperity is part of what we have to repent of. And that doesn't mean that you have to give up all of your comfort and give up all of your ease and give up all of your prosperity necessarily. But it does mean that you need to watch your heart. It is the wellspring of life. And as we watch our heart and say, where is my heart's desire? Is it Jesus and His glory? Or is it my comfort, my ease, prosperity? And if you fall into that latter category, join me in repenting of that. And bringing yourself back in faith to Jesus. And saying, you know what? Jesus is better than that. He really is. Just think about what Jesus has done. But we sang about it today. Chip read from the passage in Philippians. He left all of the comfort and ease and can I say it, the prosperity of heaven itself, and he came down to earth to suffer. For us and for our salvation, to bring us into the comfort and the ease and the prosperity of life with him forever. But in the meantime, we may have to face persecution. Actually, let me rephrase that. It's not that we may have to, because Scripture tells us something very different. See, we don't like persecution, and we're addicted to these various things, yet the Scriptures tell us that those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, I know that's a downer. I know that's something that, like, you know, you're here to hear a nice, you know, uplifting message. And we're getting to that part. But sometimes, as we heard this morning in our Sunday school class, you have to go through Good Friday and the pain and the suffering and the difficulty in order to get to Resurrection Sunday. And I think that is part of what we in American Christianity forget. The way of glory is always the cross. It always is. And the Scriptures tell us that those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that. In fact, this is what it says. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You can't get any plainer than that. And Jesus himself in John 15 says, a servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If we are followers of Christ, we're going to experience persecution of some sort. Because Jesus did. I mean, think about it. You know, around this time of year, we celebrate the fact that the Son of God became flesh and was a little baby. And even as a baby, Jesus was persecuted. The Magi came to Herod because they had seen the star, and they were looking for the Messiah. And Herod said, well, once you find out where he is, tell me where he is. And the Magi were warned of telling Herod about that in a dream, and they went another way. And when Herod found out about that, he ordered that all male children, 2 and under, should be murdered. And Jesus escaped that because an angel told Joseph to go to Egypt for a period of time to escape that persecution. And then Jesus suffered persecution the rest of his life. And he did that for us. And now he says to us, if you live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will undergo some form of persecution. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And now here's where we need to consider something. Usually when we think of persecution, we think of what I said earlier as the starting illustration of the sermon. The government ordering us to do something contrary to what our faith is, throwing us in jail, or putting some type of sanction on us as believers. That's what we tend to think of persecution. But look carefully at what Jesus says here. Verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. See, Jesus takes our definition of persecution is mainly what we think about going on overseas. Jesus says, no, persecution is any time someone speaks ill of you because of your faith, because of the truth that you hold to. And now let me clarify one more time, not because we hold to that faith and we're jerks. Because sometimes Christians can be jerks. Even though we're holding to the truth of the faith, we can do it in a very jerky way. He's not talking about that. He's talking about those who are showing the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, and holding to the truth of Christ, and people say, I don't like that. I don't like them. I don't like what they're saying. I don't like what they're doing. It's not right. That is a form of persecution. Now, when you think about it that way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you're following Christ, I can bet that you've experienced some of that. Am I right? You ever had anyone say anything to you about your beliefs and how you are ignorant, foolish, bunch of self-righteous religious people? Sometimes the shoe fits, but other times it doesn't. And when it doesn't, Jesus says, you're blessed. You have the favor of God. So when we think about persecution, let's think about it that way. And one more thing that we need to talk about before we get into some of more of the practical things of how we can play this out, how we can work this out. Contrary to what we might think, and just by looking at your faces, I can tell that some of you are in this category. Contrary to what we might think, Jesus does not call us to mope, to be fearful, or to be angry about our lot of being persecuted in this life. Contrary to what we might think, Jesus does not call us to mope, to be fearful, or to be angry about our lot of being persecuted in this life. Instead, He calls us to rejoice and be glad when we are persecuted. And that's one of those moments that I'm not expecting an amen. But if we believe Jesus, maybe there should be some amens. Look at what He says. Verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Wow. You know, there's that passage in Romans 12 that tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is one of those things we need our minds renewed a lot. To think the way Jesus tells us to think. To rejoice and be glad when someone says something to us that hurts our feelings because of our faith. I mean, how many of us really do that? And yet throughout the New Testament, we see example after example of this. When Peter and John were persecuted and they were beaten and they were thrown out into the streets, basically, and told, you are not to proclaim the name of Jesus, they went away rejoicing because they had been persecuted on Jesus' account. Again, I think that part of the problem is that we're addicted to our comfort, our ease, and our prosperity. And that's why this is so difficult for us to understand and grasp. So in order for us to rejoice, because Jesus tells us to, we should, right? Jesus tells us we should rejoice and be glad when we are persecuted. In order for us to do that, in order for us to rejoice when we are persecuted, we need to remember a few things. First, persecution because of Jesus is confirmation. It is confirmation that we belong to the community of saints. We belong to His family, His people. Look at what He says here in verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others persecute you, revile you, utter all kinds of things falsely on my account. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'll say this briefly and succinctly, and it's something I want you to chew on. When you think back on those Old Testament prophets, and maybe even the New Testament ones, and you go, wow, they were the heroes of the faith because of what they did, for what they stood for. Jesus says, when someone reviles you, when someone persecutes you, when someone utters all kinds of evil against you because of Him, you belong to the same category as those prophets. You're the hero, not because of who you are, but because of what Jesus has given you in connecting you with the prophets of old. And that should be encouragement to you. It's sort of like, you know, when I was in high school, you know, there were all these categories of people. They were the popular people. I'm going to cut this to the chase. There were popular people and the unpopular people. And if you were in the unpopular group and someone from the popular group came in and brought you into the popular group and made you feel a part of that and said, you belong to us, boy, that did something, didn't it? And that's what Jesus is doing here. You belong to the same category as those Old Testament saints, as those New Testament saints, as the prophets of old, as those heroes of the faith. You belong to that category. So rejoice and be glad. Because that's confirmation. When you are persecuted, that is confirmation you belong to that group. Second, and this is more of a big picture thing than coming straight from this passage, but it's something we need to think about. One of the reasons why we can rejoice and be glad is that God causes all things to work for the ultimate good of His people, even persecution. We love to quote Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And if we believe that, persecution is one of those all things that God works for our good. When people say bad things about you because of your belief in Jesus, that's one of those things that God uses for your good, for my good. And what is that good? Verse 29 of Romans 8 tells us, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the ultimate good. Not that we have ease and prosperity and comfort in this life per se, but that we are conformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And persecution does that. Because Jesus was persecuted Himself. And we get to, as Paul said, share in His sufferings. And that causes us to be more conformed to His likeness. And so when you're undergoing any form of persecution, whether it be difficult hardship or whether it is simply words spoken to you that hurt you because of your faith, rejoice and be glad because God is making you more like Jesus. And that is the ultimate goal of your faith, to glorify God by being more like Jesus. And then finally, we do have the great and precious promise that the kingdom belongs to the persecuted saints. The kingdom belongs to us. And I'm not going to go through the sermon we had weeks ago about the whole thing about that again, but I will reiterate 2 points about that. In this passage, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In verse 12, he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." The kingdom is this reestablished and unchallenged reign of God over all creation. It, in its fullest sense, it is a return to Eden, a letter. It is a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more sin, no more persecution, no more difficulties, no more problems. It will just be righteousness, joy, and peace, and that belongs to you. If you experience persecution, the whole created order is yours because Jesus shares it with you. And that causes us to rejoice and be glad when someone speaks ill of us because of our faith. Again, let me remind you of what the scriptures say. Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time," and that would include persecution, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed." And he also says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, this slight momentary affliction, and as I've said many times before when I'm referring to this passage, slight momentary affliction is persecution. This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. So what we have to do, my friends, is keep our eyes on the prize. We run the race with perseverance, no matter what comes our way, fixing our eyes on Jesus, because He went before us. And He suffered for us. And He died for us. And He rose from the dead for us. And He ascended into heaven as a forerunner. He crossed the finish line with faithfulness. And now He's standing there saying, "I've given you everything you need to cross this finish line with me. Come and receive all that I have for you. It's worth it." It really is. And so, my final exhortation to all of us, myself included, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back from following Christ, even when persecution is certain, because we know Christ's promise of glory is ours. Let's pray. Father, I know that I have not done justice to this topic, and yet I believe that by your Spirit you are at work in my heart and in the hearts of these people. You please continue to be at work in us, that no matter what happens, we would be faithful. And when we do experience persecution of any level, even if it seems small and it is one of those things that hurt our feelings, like because someone said something, that we would rejoice and be glad because of the blessing that you give us in Christ. And it's in His name we pray this. Amen.